Our scripture readings this morning are from Malachi 4:6 and Luke 15:24. Malachi 4:6, He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else it will come and strike the land with total destruction. Luke 15:24, For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
I thank God again for just being here. He's such a wonderful God. I thank him for bringing us all here for another Father's Day. And so I wish a happy Father's Day again to all of the fathers here and all of the uncles, the coaches, the mentors, anyone, godfathers, anyone has served a purpose in the life of young people or even in adults and have been a father figure to someone. I wish you all a happy Father's Day today. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, of course, it's Father's Day, so it made me think of my father who passed away it's almost been 5 years now. And he was a really good dad to us. He was our cook. And so we're each all now trying to recreate those meals that he made for us. And not one of us can do it. None of us are even close. We try. I'll take that back. Some of us are close, but none of us can cook like he did for us. And he was truly a provider, but not only to us. He had 6 children, 5 girls, and 1 boy. So can you imagine what that life was like with 5 teenage girls in the house? He was a good dad. He was truly a good dad to us. But not only to us. He was a good dad to my cousins. I was up this morning counting. They came over pretty much every day. Pretty much every day after school, they would pull up in the yard. And never once did he say, get out of my yard. Get out of my house. And it would be like 10 of us. I started counting on my fingers this morning. I'm like, there was me, and there was Vicky, and there was Jeff. And I'm like, oh my God, how did they handle it? How did he handle it? You know what he would do? He'd put us to work. Come on out to the garden. And he had this massive garden, and we would be picking okra and picking tomatoes. And he was such a good dad. And now when he passed away at his funeral, we started to really hear the stories of all of the things he did as a dad, things we had no idea about. People were coming up to us and in the community, because if you all know, my mom was an activist. She truly was in our community. And he was right there by her side, and he would back her. He was such a strong man that they could say whatever they wanted. He was like, my wife is doing it, I'm backing her. He didn't care what anyone had to say. And so he touched the lives of a lot of our community kids as well. He truly was a father to so many people. And that just made me think, because there was someone who shared, you know, I bought my first gun, he said, and I didn't know how to use it, but I knew Uncle Jewel, because this literally was a nephew, could show me how to do it right, to do the right thing. And that was his memory. And we're like, I had no idea Dad ever did that. I didn't know that. I had no idea. He just touched the lives of so many. And I think of when my older siblings were younger, he would take them all, just load them all up. We had a station wagon because we had 6 kids. So we had a station wagon. He just loaded up with the kids, him and my mom, and he would take them to the skating ring, and he would take them out to the lake. We would go to Manawa. And he just was such a good dad. And he really did care about everyone. And it just made me think of our Father, our Heavenly Father, and to think if a natural man could care that much for so many people, how much our Heavenly Father cares for us. You know, more. He loves us way more than my dad ever could, because he was just in a human body. But God loves us so much more. He is truly a father to us and a wonderful example. And so that's what I want to talk about today, just the heart of a father. Because it took a heart, it took a good heart for my dad to let all the people come over to his house every single day. We think about it now. We're like, and not only did he allow everyone to come over, he fed everyone. He would make big pots of greens and cornbread and cabbage. And I mean, because he was Southern. So we would have just this wonderful, delicious Southern food. And he'd make enough for everybody. Come on in, everybody. That's what God does for us. He's truly has the heart for his people. God does the heart for his children. And so my title today is A Father's Heart. And I started thinking, well, Who in the Bible had a father's heart? You know, what's a story that I can relate this to? And I came up with the prodigal son, because pretty much all of us have been in that place at some point, somehow. Not exactly everything the prodigal son did, but something. You know, we've all kind of wanted to find our way and see if we could do what we wanted to do against what our parent or father was saying. So let's read. I have the whole story, so it's a little long, but I want to just kind of point out some things. That's the heart of a father, the heart of a natural father, but the heart of our father, how he looks for us and takes care of us. And so this story is found in Luke 15, and it's verses 11 through 32. So we'll break it up a little bit, but I hope you can see where I'm going with this morning. Luke 11, 15, 11. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. So just right there, all of a sudden, he's asking for this son is asking for his share before time, right? You get your share when your father passes away. Generally, it's how inheritance works. But he's asking for his right there. Have you ever been to your parent and, you know, "I want it now. Can you do this for me now? I need to have you." I have. I'm always going to be honest. Try to be transparent. I have. "No, Mom. No, Dad. I need this." Well, that's what happened to this father. But he had the heart of a father. Have you ever been to God and know that he's saying, not now. Not now, daughter. Not now, son. I have this thing for you, but not now. But we're like, "I'll make it happen for myself." Have you ever done that? "I'll make it happen for myself. I can do this. I don't need God." And God says, "Go on. Go ahead. we'll see what happens. You go ahead." That's what the father did to these sons. He knew that this son was not ready. He wasn't ready to go out on his own. He wasn't ready for that. But God, the father in the story, went ahead. "Here you go. Try it. I could hear my mom would say, "Okay, I'm going to let you bump your head," is what she would say to us. "Go ahead, I'm going to let you bump your head." And truly, we would bump our head because she knew what she was talking about. You know, it takes you to be an adult to realize that. But that's what this story is saying. So the father said, okay, he split up the inheritance. He gave the part to the younger son and he gave the older son his half as well. Then in verse 13, it says, "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." And wild living means he did everything he could think of. He got out in the world and he had women and he gambled and he did everything that was against what his father had taught him. He had wild, and there's another word, I'm trying to think of it now, because I kept saying it to my sister last night. Now I can't remember. But in the Old Testament, in the King James, it calls it a little differently. But he did. He went out and he just lived and he squandered away all of the money that his father had worked so hard for and gave him. He gave him his inheritance early. He squandered it away. Then it says, after he had spent everything, and there were no more friends, there was no more people to hang out with, all of that were gone because he didn't have any money left. He'd spent it all, wasted it out doing riotous living. That's the word that the King James uses. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. Now, have you ever been in that situation where you know your parents told you what was right, and now here you are in a bad state? You know, now you have to do whatever I can to make it. I'm too ashamed to go back because I didn't follow what my dad said. That's where he's at. I didn't do what my dad told me. Now I'm too ashamed to go home. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And in the Jewish custom, the pigs were, you didn't even touch them. And now here he is feeding the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. He was so low, he wanted to eat the pigs' food. He had gotten to that point. He didn't listen to his father. But now, while he's doing this is just my opinion, I feel his father was praying for him. He knew he was out in the world. He knew he wasn't doing what he should have done. He knew what was going to come. And he was praying for him like our fathers do. I think of my mom and my dad. They would pray for us. When we were not in the right state, not in a good set mindset, they were praying, God bless my children. And that's how I feel this prodigal son's father was. Bless him. Send him back home. Send him home so we can take care of him. He says he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, when the Lord touched his mind and said, remember, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. And you know, don't you? I know my parents did. They taught us well. We knew what was right. We knew what we were supposed to do. But that didn't stop us from trying, you know. But the father's heart, the mother's heart, they knew. And so here the young man, he starts to remember, but in my father's house, there's food. Why am I so ashamed to go back to my father's house? The servants there have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he had already had a plan in place. He's like, when I get there, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. I'm going to talk my way back into my house, to my father's house. You know, so he had a repentant spirit, which was good. But a father's heart, if you know the next part of the story, the father's heart, when he was coming down that road, that father was so happy, he went to running to meet his son. Why, he had a heart for his son. He loved his son. He knew what he was going. That's why he said, go ahead, here, take it. He knew what was going to happen. But he, I believe, lifted him up in prayer. And when the son came back, there was no need for shame. And that's how we come back to God. Sometimes we walk away from him. Sometimes we're not living the life that he would have for us to live. We walk away from him. We do things riotous living. We do things that are just not of God. We do hateful things. We do, you know, bad things that aren't of God. We sin against him. But his love for us, his heart for us is so great that he's a God that forgives. And it's just so important that we know his heart for us is a forgiving God. He forgives us of everything. So there's no need to have shame when you're coming back into his presence. He loves us like the father. This is what the father did to the prodigal son as he came in. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. That's what God does. He already knows where you are. He knows everything about you. So there's no need to be ashamed. Yeah, you failed, but that's okay because he loves us. That's what this father did. He saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. And that's what God does for us. He doesn't make us wallow in our sin or in our failures. He says, here's the best. I have the very best for you. He said, wrap him up in that robe. It's this best robe that he has. That he has for them. And if you know them, if you know that custom, you know, it would have been like silk and awesome. It would have been beautiful to wear. And he said, wrap him up and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. He celebrated his son coming back. He didn't beat him down. If you would have listened to me, you wouldn't have been in this situation. We've had parents that do that, you know, and that's okay. But truly, when your kids are coming back, and that's the heart of a father, when they're coming back and they've been through the ringer and they've been through a terrible time, it's so awesome to show them love first before you say, I told you so, you know, or not say, I told you so at all. Even if you're thinking it, just hold it to yourself. Love them up. That's what this father did. Not once did he say, I told you not to take that money. And where is my money now that you took? And, you know, he didn't beat him down. He wrapped him up. He did the very best that he could do. The fatted calf was like having a big feast. It's like having a big party when they bring it out. And it says, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. He celebrated his son. That's the heart of a father. I think of that all the time, not only when I'm in trouble, because I've had some troubles. I've been through some things as a teenager. I wasn't the best. But who was, really, you know? But I like to be transparent. I was not always such a great girl. But I think of my dad and my mom, but I think of my dad when I had to go out and do speeches or go out and do things in the community. When I would leave, get ready to walk out of the house, my mom would pray for me. But my dad would say, "You sure do look beautiful today." Every single time. I can remember it. Every time I'd be like, "Oh, thanks, Dad. I feel better as I'm walking out the door. Thanks, Dad." That gave me the strength. Between the two of them, they sent me out into the world to face whatever it is I had to go face. But they send me out with confidence and build me up. And that's what this father did. He didn't beat his son down. He didn't break his spirit because he didn't do what he told him to do, or he didn't, you know, he was determined to do it his way. No, he loved him. And that's what our father does for us, our heavenly father. When we've been beat down and we come back to him, he doesn't say, "See, if you would have lived the way I told you to live." No, he lifts us up like that. "You sure are beautiful. You sure look beautiful today as you're going out and you're going to do. You're my child. You're my girl. You're my boy. I'm so proud of you." That's what our heavenly father does for us. That's the heart of a father, that he loves no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. He loves us. And that is so amazing to me, that he can love us regardless. And you know, the enemy will try and tell us, "Nope, you're not good enough anymore. Nope, you failed." But no, this father, he knows his son went out and did some stuff. He did a lot of things that he shouldn't have been doing. But he didn't tell him, "No, you're not good enough now to be my son. No, come on in. Get the fatted calf. Here's your robe. I'm going to put your ring back on." That's a sign of his family, meaning I'm accepting you back into the family. He said he was dead, but now he's alive. And that's how God feels about us. When we fail, when we falter, he welcomes us back in. He loves on us and welcomes us back. That's the heart of a father. Now, it's awesome to have the heart of a father, but sometimes there's still a little negative that goes on, especially in families, family dynamics. This is the last part of this story. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Servant said to him, "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been here slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," he didn't even call him his brother, he's like, "When this son of yours," "when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." But the father said, because he had a father's heart, he said, My son, the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours." He had to remind him, "I already take care of you. Everything I have is yours. You're in my heart." That's the father's heart. He had to remind him of that. "You are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." That's amazing. And that what I love about this is you get to see that as a father. And that's why I really wanted to teach this too. Just honor those fathers who have, like my dad had, 5 girls and 1 boy. Each one of us was very different. And he had to speak to each one of us, to us individually. And that's how God does us. Each one of us is different. Like the father in the story, he had to remind the older brother, you're special. I've always got you. You're in my heart. I have you. But now we need to celebrate and just remind him. Now we have to celebrate this brother who went off. Well, he's back. Now we need to celebrate. The Father, he looks at each one of us and meets each one of us at our own personal need. He talks to us and loves us for what we need. And that's why I pray that when I pray face by face, person by person. And I try to pray that every week because he sees us, each one of us, for our own personal need. That's the heart of a Father, the heart of our Father. He knows what I need that will uplift me, but he knows what you need that will uplift you. He knows exactly. It may not be the same thing that motivates me that will motivate you, that will touch your heart, that will uplift your spirit. But God knows each one of us, face by face, person by person, need by need. And that's what this father had to do. He had to just remind the brother, well, I love you. And you know it because you see it and you feel it every day. But I have to remind this young man, because he went away. And you know the enemy tried to tell him he was no good anymore. You know he tried to tell him, you're nothing now. You've gone off and you did all of these things that you should be ashamed of. But the father had to lift him up. And what is so wonderful is that one is what our God does for us. He lifts each one of us up and meets each one of us at where we need to be lifted and what we need from him. He has the heart of a father. So I want you, as you go through this week, oh, I have one more scripture. I'm sorry. I was ready to close this out, but I have one more scripture. And it's just, it's the very last scripture in the Old Testament. And it says, it's Malachi 4:6, and it says, he will turn the hearts of the parents. But in the New King James Version, it says the hearts of the father to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. And all it's saying is that as the world was after that Old Testament, he was going to turn the hearts of the families to each other. They were going to love each other. They were going to have the father's heart and a heart for their family. And that's all it's saying. And I just wanted to leave you with that, that we walk in that, that we have the heart of a family. God has us in mind. He turned our hearts toward each other, so that we can feel his love and feel the love of each other, uplift our families, uplift our church family. So I leave you with that scripture, and I'm going to pray. But I want you to just think about that. Think of your own father. You know, think of the heart of a father. Think of those mentors in our community. Think of those godfathers and those uncles who stepped in, who had to take that place. And even those mothers who maybe didn't have any male example, but had to show their sons God, had to show them the heart of a father. So with that, because I don't know, I feel very passionate today about the heart of a father, but not just my father. It was wonderful to just go back and think about him. I think about him every day, but to really think about all of the awesome things he did for us, but to think about all of the wonderful things that God, my heavenly father, does for me, how he cares for me, how he cares for you, how he loves us and is so concerned with everything that concerns us. Let's pray today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each father here in the building today. I ask that you would bless them. Allow this to be a wonderful day that they are celebrated and loved by their family. But God, I thank you for your heart towards us. I thank you, God, that you will never leave us, never forsake us. You are always with us. I thank you that you are so concerned with us, God. And I thank you that your love is abounding, that your love for us is abounding, that we cannot even know or even imagine the great love you have for us. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You're such an amazing God, such a wonderful God. We thank you. We give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. Lord, we do pray again for all those on our prayer list. We pray for them person by person, face by face, God, that you would meet each one at their point of need today. And we give you all of the glory, honor, God, all of the praise. And again, for each person here, meet them today at their very point of need, God. Work it out. Every situation, we thank you. We give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.